How many have taken the opportunity to read the Gospel of John since we're going through it now? Amen. If you've never read through it, this is a perfect time to read through it. You will see things that you have never seen before as you do read through that. Amen. Gospel of John chapter number 6, and we're going to go into verse 35. I'm going to read one verse here, and then we will explain several other things here tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask you some questions, so get your thinking caps on tonight. Amen. Everybody ready to think? Say, preacher, I thought all day at work. My mind is dead. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you some questions anyway. Amen. All right, John chapter 7, chapter 6, verse 35. Read that together with me. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Father, bless now the next moments that we have. Open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, but most of all, open our hearts to the truth of the message that we're about to receive tonight. Lord, I pray there is some understanding that's lacking, that you would enlighten us if there is some confusion. Lord, you may open the way of understanding. Lord, if there is some image of Christ's likeness that we don't resemble in, Lord, chip away at that so that we can be more Christ-like in that which we think, say, and do. Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do tonight through the Word of God. And every time we come face to face with an open Word of God, we should change, Lord. We should leave differently than before we came before the mirror of the Word of God. And so, Lord, change us to be conformed to the image of Christ's likeness tonight a little bit more. And Lord, help us to leave a little bit more knowledgeable of the things of God, a little bit more Christ-like. And Lord, thank you once again that the Word of God, just the exposure to it by the Spirit of God, is able to conform us to the image of your Son. Thank you for loving us. Bless now the moments that we have. And encourage the children as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, who did not get one of the outlines? Lupita, I know you didn't, so we're going to give you one of these. Where did Lupita go? All right, Terrell, can you give that back to Lupita? Anybody else not get a Gospel of John outline? We've already gone over them, so I'm not going to go over it again. But if you did not get a Gospel of John outline, raise your hand. All right, I think everybody's got one. Well, if you've been with us any time here, you know that we're going through the Gospel of John. We already covered the seven witnesses, and John's goal here, again, is twofold, proving that Jesus is who? The Son of God, and he's proving that by using what? Seven witnesses, what else? Seven I am statements, and what else? Seven miracles, amen. And if you don't believe by then, you are just not going to believe, amen. By the way, over 99 references we looked at over the past previous weeks where it said just believe. We didn't get into the other versions of believe, like believe, the believeth, and believest. We didn't even get into that. We just looked at believe, amen. So proving Jesus is God's Son and then providing sign statements and beliefs, amen, belief statements, I should say. Seven special miracles, seven I am statements, and seven witnesses saying that Jesus Christ is God. By the way, if you don't believe he is God, John's setting out to convince you that he is, amen. We see here John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me give you some opening remarks here, first of all. We saw the seven witnesses that testify that Jesus is God's Son. Now we come to the next set of sevens. These are the seven I am statements of Christ. And today is going to set the stage for the other six statements. So the information I give you tonight is going to set the stage for the other six. Why do I say that? Answer me this question. Are these random statements that Jesus is making? No, they're not random statements. A random statement is just shooting out, just saying anything. These are not random statements that he's making with these seven I am statements. Amen. There are statements of fact, but everyday practical statements of reality. So in other words, what he is saying is a statement of fact. But there's a practical, everyday reality that goes along with what he's saying. In other words, what he's saying, they understand. What he's saying, they do. What he is saying, they practice. Okay, so that's what I mean when these aren't random statements. These are factual reality statements that he's making, and he's going to draw a parallel to this. Amen. So first question you answered right. Amen. So the statements Jesus used were physical realities. Notice this, and this is the word you're going to hear over and over again. Physical realities with physical practicalities. Okay, say that again. The statements that Jesus used are going to be physical realities with physical practicalities leading to physical outcomes. Okay, in other words, the physical reality is if I knock on the door, someone can actually open it, and what can I do as a practicality? Walk through. So what's the outcome? I have entered into the destination that I wanted to get to. So the reality is if I knock and if someone is home, they can open the door. The practicality is I walk through the door. The outcome is I have achieved my desire. Amen? And the statements that Jesus is making are going to be the same way. All right? Everybody got that? Because this is going to lay the groundwork for all the rest of the statements that he has going on here. Amen? So, in other words, Jesus spoke about things they knew, things they did, and the outcome when they did it. That sound right? Amen? Because tonight we're going to be talking about the bread of life. Amen? And we're going to ask you some questions about that. By the way, why use physical realities? Why use physical realities? Joshua? Exactly. They understand practical, physical realities because I can see it. Can you see the spiritual? No, you can't see the spiritual. You see spiritual things happening in people's lives, but you don't see the spiritual. You see the results of the spiritual. So why is Jesus using physical realities? It was something they understood. He took these physical realities and these physical practicalities and the outcomes, and get this now, then he turned it around and applied a spiritual application to it. What am I saying? Jesus took a physical reality, a physical practicality, and he got that outcome, and he said, now let's turn it spiritual. The seven I am statements that he is making are that way. He takes these realities that are physical. He takes these practicalities that are there, the outcome, and he applies them. Spiritual realities then, spiritual practicalities turn into spiritual outcomes. Amen. And Jesus frequently taught by parables. What's a parable? It's an earthly story with an heavenly or spiritual truth. So he gave them a story that was a physical reality that had a practicality with an outcome, and then he gave them a heavenly truth to it. He often talked about the husbandman who planted his vineyard and went away. Oftentimes the vineyard is Israel. The husbandman was Jesus, or sometimes it's the prophets, or sometimes it's God. And the husbandman oftentimes didn't do right. And then what happened when the master got back? He dealt with the ones that were keeping it. Amen. And he gives that parable all the time. So Jesus taught about parables, stories, illustrations, and examples. So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual truth. Amen. Get this statement. The main goal in understanding the application of the I am statements is understanding the physical application first. In other words, if I don't understand the physical application, it's probably good to say I'm not going to understand the spiritual application. What happened to Nicodemus when Jesus said you must be born again? He didn't have a clue. He looked at Jesus like he was crazy. What are you? Do you expect me to go back in my mother? My mother's 65 years old. Amen. What are you talking about? And what did Jesus do? Jesus had to take him and give him a physical application and had to bring the spiritual application to it. And he said, that's how someone is born from where? Above, or born again. And so the transferring of the spiritual application to the physical is imperative for you and I to understand the applications that Jesus is making in these statements that he is going to make. Because they're not random. They're real things that they went through. And I got a caution here. This is where many go wrong and get off track with spiritual principles. Do you know that most of the Old Testament, although it's practical reality of things that they did, And it had some practical, some practices that they did. Do you know most of that was a spiritual application to things that were going to happen in the New Testament? And the New Testament was a fulfilling of many of those things. And so when you look at the Old Testament, it was written for a purpose, for a people, to the Jews. And the Jews were supposed to take that and export that to everybody. Did they do that? No. So what did Jesus do? Jesus came and said, look, I'm going to give it not just to the Gentiles, but I'm going to give the gospel to everybody. And so everybody's going to have the opportunity that you had and you passed up. I'm going to give that to everybody. So it's just not now just the Jews. It's to the Greeks. It's to the Gentiles. It's to everybody. So everybody's got that now. Amen. And so a lot of what happened in the Old Testament was just looking forward to what's going to happen in the New Testament. Amen. All right. So with that said, let me give you this here. The physical application, if it's not carried over into spiritual realm like Nicodemus and being born again, oftentimes you're going to get the application wrong. Amen. Amen. By the way, chapter 6, the Jews are going to get it wrong. Let me just give you one snippet here. Go to verse 41. Then the Jews then, what's that word? Is murmuring normally a good thing or a bad thing? They murmured at him. Why? Because he said, I am the what? Bread which came down from heaven. Notice verse 52 to show you how wrong they were. The Jews, therefore, what's the word? Strove. Is that a good word or a bad word? That means they were arguing. They strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his what? Flesh to eat. Was Jesus talking about giving his flesh to eat? Shows you that they didn't get the application physically, its practicality, and its outcome. So they bought that thing over, and they never did get this thing right spiritually. Happens every time. Happens every time. So you got to get it right. Each of the seven I am statements will have this application that Jesus is trying to get his followers to understand. He wants them to understand the physical first, and then he wants them to understand the spiritual, and that's how he's teaching. What are the seven? I am the bread of life, which we're going to look at tonight. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Each one of those was something practical that they understood. They understood its practical reality. They understood the practicalities of it. And they understood the outcome if it was done in a practical way. And Jesus said, because you know the practical, then you should understand the spiritual. Amen. All right. So let's get started here. Each one of these seven I am statements have a physical and practical outcome. Jesus used to bring about a spiritual and practical outcome for a truth in their lives. All right. Let's take a closer look at the statement. These statements that prove that Jesus is the Son of God, giving us more reasons to believe. John 6:35. Let's go ahead and unlock some things here. Amen. All right. We got in the verse here. Jesus said unto them, I am the what? Was Jesus saying, I'm a piece of bread? No. Of course, we know that. Amen. Although Wonder Bread would be a good synonym. Amen. Be a good synonym there. Amen. Synonym. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never what? Hunger. He that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. All right. Jesus states that he is the bread of life. Question. What is bread used for physically? Joshua. To eat. Or in other words, for what? Food. Bread is used for food. Would everybody agree with me? Do you think the Jews understood that? Bread is food. Okay. All right. Good. Y'all doing good already. Amen. Let's see what John states about that. See if John agrees that bread is food. Amen. All right. Go back up to John chapter 6. Let's go down to verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. Now, Jesus did some miracles back in chapter number 5. We're not going to talk about that now. But they saw these miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain. There he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy what? Bread, that they may what? So what is bread for? Eat. Amen. Bread is for eating. Amen. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of what? Bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may what? Take a little. He said, we don't have enough money. Amen. Come down to verse number 9. There is a lad here which hath five what? Barley loaves. What's barley loaves? Bread. And two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Come down to verse 11. Jesus took the what? The loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Disciples to them that were set down. Likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the what? Five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had what? Eaten. So we understand that John has already told us that bread stands for food. Y'all follow me? Amen. Now, by the way, if Jesus is ever going to use an example, he normally tells you the correlation here. Bread is food. All right. There's a couple more. Let's see here. Verse 23. Howbeit there came another, came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat what? Bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. Verse 27, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did what? Eat of the loaves and were what? And were filled. So Jesus says, you're looking for me not because I did a miracle. You want a free meal ticket. You want to be fed. You're like one of those beggars out at the shopping mall that come over there and say, can you give me a quarter so I can go get me something to eat? Amen. And those same ones, you say, can I go buy you a sandwich or something? They'd be like, oh, no, no, I don't want a sandwich. Just give me the money. Amen. Notice down there, verse 31, our fathers did eat man in the desert, as it is written. He gave them what? Bread from heaven to what? Eat. All right. So we understand that bread is for food. John agrees that bread is for food as well. Question. Bread then sustains what? Life. What type of life? Physical life. All right. So let's get that down then. So bread sustains life. Bread is for food. Bread sustains physical life, all right? That is the point that Jesus is making first, all right? Everybody got that? All right. So Jesus is trying to get them to understand the physical reality is that bread is for food. And the physical practicality is that eating bread brings the outcome of sustained life. No bread, no what? No bread, no life. That's easy. Everybody got that? All right. So how could the Jews get this wrong? No bread, no life. All right. You know why they got it wrong? Because they didn't apply the spiritual application. No bread, no food. If Jesus then is the bread of life, what type of life does he bring? Spiritual, eternal, both the same. Well, wait a minute. How could they get this wrong? Let me give you a multiple choice here. If Jesus then is bread and he's the bread of life, what type of life does he bring? Does he bring A, eternal life? Does he bring B, physical life? Does he bring C, a good life? Does he bring D, a long life? Or does he bring E, all of the above? All of the above. What does the Bible say? Children, obey your parents, Lord, for this is right, that days may be what? Long upon the Lamb, Lord, thy God giveth thee. So he can give you long life. Will he give you a good life? Yes, he said, I give them abundant life. Does he give them physical life? Yes, he keeps us breathing. Does he also give us eternal life? Yes. So he gives us all three. All four. Eternal life, physical life, good life, long life. Amen. He gives us all the above. Now, verse 35. Let's clarify something here. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never, what's that word? Hunger. What does it mean to hunger? Huh? Be without food. Hunger. Be without food or be starving for food. Jesus said, okay, I'm the bread of life. When you come to me, you shall never hunger. Is Jesus speaking physically or is he speaking spiritually? He's speaking spiritually. How do we know he's speaking spiritually? You can't eat him. That is true. Amen. Now he says, I will never hunger. What does he mean? I'll never hunger for what? Josh? Well, yes, that's true, but I heard somebody say the word, Brother Hall. I will never hunger for eternal life. Why? Why wouldn't I hunger for eternal life? Can I get any more saved than I am already? So is that hunger satisfied? That hunger is satisfied. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. When he says I'll never hunger, I'll never hunger for eternal life. Why? I already have it. I've got me a big old Thanksgiving dinner Joshua made for me, and I ate it all up, amen. And Joshua comes and says, I got another Thanksgiving dinner for you. I'm going to say, Joshua, I'm already full. I don't want any more. Why? I have been filled with that which I need to be satisfied of. Everybody follow? So I will never hunger for what? Eternal life. The correlation is the same way food or bread satisfies, the same way Jesus satisfies the hunger of salvation or eternal life. It is a done deal. All right? And notice verse 35 again. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never, what's that word? Thirst. Is he talking about physically or spiritually? Spiritually. By the way, are we going to get hungry physically? Yes. Are we going to get thirsty physically? Yes. Will we continue to get hungry physically and thirsty physically? Yes, yes, and yes. You go out and run this hot Arizona sun. You're going to want some water. You're going to get thirsty. So I cannot say that I will never thirst when it comes to the physical application. Neither can I say I'll never hunger when it comes to the physical application, because I will hunger and I will thirst. So he says never thirst spiritually is what he's talking about. But now what am I thirsting for? Eternal life. The same application. The same way you'll never hunger for eternal life, the same way you'll never thirst for eternal life. Why? Bread is for food. Water's to drink. Am I going to get physically thirsty and hungry? Yes. But if I'm satisfied with eternal life, will I ever hunger for eternal life? No. Will I ever thirst for eternal life? No. Why? I've got it already. All right? So the question, we will still hunger and thirst physically. Now here's the magic question. Will we still hunger and thirst spiritually? Well, I already got that filled. Yes. Yes, but I'm not hungering and thirsting for salvation. I already got that. So I will continue to hunger and thirst, but not for salvation. Blessed are they which what? Hunger and thirst for what? Right? So go back to Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is writing to people that are already saved and living the kingdom life. And so it's not that they're trying to get it. Notice down there, blessed are the six. Blessed are they which do hunger and what? Thirst after what? Righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So once I'm filled with this, will I get thirsty and hungry for it again? Yes. Why? I'm in a fleshly body. And if you ever been around unsaved people all day working, they will take all the spirituality out of you that you have. All the thirst that you had in the morning, that you hungered for God's righteousness and you thirsted for his righteousness and you got filled and you went to work singing I go a long last road. You were happy you went in there, and man, as soon as you walked in there, all the hounds of hell jumped on you and you thought, glory. They just took all the strength out of me spiritually. Exactly. I've got no strength left. And so when it comes down to this, I'm not going to hunger and thirst for salvation. Why? I already have that. And I can't get any more saved than I am. But I will hunger and thirst for the word of God and righteousness and more of what God would want me to be. All right, so go back. So y'all are doing good so far. Amen. Did I lose anybody yet? Okay, good. Amen. So will we still hunger and thirst spiritually? Yes, but not for salvation. What will we thirst for and hunger for? More knowledge of God, more knowledge of God's word. Amen. By the way, you won't hunger and thirst for that which you are full of, which is salvation. You don't need any more salvation. All right. So now, with that said, everybody follow that. Let's see what Jesus said here now the rest of the way. So far, he did the miracle. He fed the multitudes there in the earlier verses all the way down to verse number 26. Now Jesus is replying to the crowd. He says, look, you know, this is what you're after. You just want to get fed again. Amen. So now we want to try to apply the spiritual application to what Jesus is telling them and what he's encouraging them to do. Amen. So come down here with me. Let's start in verse number 35. Amen. Everybody follow so far? All right. So Jesus said, I am the bread of what? Bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What am I never going to hunger for? Salvation. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What am I not never going to thirst for? Salvation. Why? I've got all I can get. Amen. So I am the bread of life. So what is Jesus trying to get them to see? He's trying to get them to see that he is the same thing that physical bread would be. To come to you and you ingest me and you survive. If you don't have me, you're not going to survive, because a man without food is going to die eventually. By the way, back in Bible times, the staple food was bread and fish. You could live off of bread. By the way, why do you think they put criminals on bread and water sometimes? It's a staple food. It'll keep them alive for a while. Amen. Yeah, now the bread that make today probably not going to keep them alive too long. The Ken Hovind said, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead. Amen. Today you may not last long with that type of bread. Amen. But back then they didn't have all the preservatives, all the additives. So Jesus is trying to get them to say, hey, look, the same way you had those fish and that bread multiplied, I am the same thing spiritually. You need to ingest me. You need to have me. You need to have me to sustain your life. You don't have me, you're not going to live. So now if I apply that spiritually, not only am I going to give you salvation, but I'm going to give you everything spiritually that you need. So come down here. So we know verse 35. Notice verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise what? Cast out. So he says, nobody's going to get left out. Amen. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose how much? Nothing, but should what? Raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, believeth on him, it may have what? Everlasting life. How am I going to believe on you, Jesus Christ? Because I am just like the bread that you need. And so you've got to receive me. You've got to believe that I am the same thing that bread does to you physically. You believe on me, I do the same thing spiritually. Y'all get it? Okay, now you would think they got this now. Amen. Verse number 41. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? What are they doing now? What are they questioning? Validity, he's called to be a son of God, and more importantly, his what? His deity. You're not the son of God. You're the son of Joseph. There's a big difference, isn't it? Did Joseph birth Jesus? No. He was born of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So Joseph was never the father in the first place. He just took over guardianship. So they said, now, wait a minute. This is not Jesus, the son of Joseph? You're not the son of God. Amen. Whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? They said, wait a minute, how can this be? Sound like Nicodemus, doesn't it? Amen. How can this be? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will what? Raise him up at the last day. In other words, he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, I am the bridge. And if you don't walk across this bridge, you're not coming. I am the bread. You need to ingest me. I am this bridge. You're not coming but this way. He says down in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they should be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Come down to verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. He's equating now believing to having the bread. Eating the bread is the same as believing. The same. I am, verse 48, what? that bread of life. What is that bread of life? He just said in verse 47, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. What are you saying? I am the everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. I'm what you need. The same way physical food will keep you alive, I will keep you alive spiritually if you have me. If you don't have me, you're not going to live. You're not going to live. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that a man may eat thereof and not what? Die. Is he talking physically or spiritually? Spiritually. Are we going to die if the rapture doesn't happen? Unfortunately, yes. Are we going to die spiritually? No. Why? Because we have Jesus. Is Jesus going to die? And if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, guess what? If Christ's not dying, I'm not dying. Amen. This earthly body is going to have to put off this tabernacle. Amen. But guess what? If Jesus ain't dying, I'm not dying. And Jesus ain't dying. He died once. Verse 51, I am the what kind of bread? Living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this what bread, he shall live how long? Forever. And the what? Bread that I will give is my what? Flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What is Jesus meaning? I will give my flesh. What is he talking about? When he goes on the cross, I'm going to give my earthly body that I put on to die for the sins of mankind that Adam ruined. I'm going to get up there and give my flesh. What did he say in Isaiah? I gave my flesh, my back to the smiters. So in other words, he's saying, look, I'm going to give my life on the cross. That's why he says my flesh. How did the Jews take this? Literally, blasphemy. For a Jew, there were certain things they could eat and certain things they couldn't eat. To eat somebody, that's at the height. That's at the height. I mean, that's worse than any swine or anything that you could even think of. You're talking about eating a person. Now, that's at the top of the list. Now you're going to cannibalism. Jesus said, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his what? Flesh to eat. Then Jesus gets really explicit here. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoa. What do you do with that? So what is he talking about on that one then? The same correlation. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on him is the same as eating him. To believe that water will help me out, then the same thing his blood will do for me spiritually. But they're taking him literally. But he's talking spiritual. Did he not just give the spiritual application up there in verse 47 and verse 48? He, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He said, I am that bread of life. Amen. Notice verse number 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is what? Meat indeed. In other words, it's that which is going to keep you alive. And my blood is what? Drink indeed. It's that which is going to quench your thirst. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. So in other words, if you believe that I can keep you alive physically, the way bread does, spiritually, you are going to be good to go. If you don't believe that, you're going to be bad to go. Matter of fact, you will go. Amen. For my flesh is meat indeed, verse 55, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Is he talking about physically eating him? No, he's talking about believing on him. The same way you would eat bread, drink water, believe on me. Y'all got that? That's what he's dealing with. And they could not get the crossover. Notice verse 58. Now, notice how he ends 57. Even he shall live how? By me. This is that what? Bread, which came down from where? Heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this what? Bread shall live what? Forever. Now, notice what happens here. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. What happened? He had this crowd. They were following him because they got fed and they wanted to be fed a little bit longer. Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them with a practical lesson. He uses the simplicity of the physical reality with the physical practicality was an outcome, and they don't get it spiritually. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is what? Hard saying, who can what? Hear it. That's like preachers. You're preaching and folks say, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Amen. In other words, who can hear it is who can accept it. They're saying, we can't accept this. You get somebody the gospel and say, well, you know, you just got to repent of your sins. I can't accept that. Well, you need to humble yourself. Well, I can't accept that. Well, you got to believe that Jesus Christ said, I can't accept that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. I can't accept that. I can't accept that. Why? Somewhere along the line, they lost the correlation. Jesus, when Jesus knew in himself, the disciples murmured at his, at it, he said unto them, does this what? Does this offend you? Is this going to make cause you to stumble, basically? And you know what they said, basically? Yeah, it is, it is. Now, why does this cause them to stumble? Why this? Yeah, it is a hard saying. But why did it cause them to stumble in the first place? They didn't understand. That's true. What were they coming to look for? They came looking for food. They didn't come for a Bible lesson. You know, you get a homeless person down the street and you say, well, you got to come and sit through our service. I didn't come for that. I just want something to eat. They didn't get it because that's not what they came for. But the people that came for it got it. By the way, you will get what you're looking for. Amen. Amen. Does this offend you? He says, this caused you to stumble. Of course it did. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, you think? For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went where? Back and walked no more with him. Jesus knew who would believe him, and that was the 12, or I should say the 11. Then said Jesus unto the 12, what? Will ye also go away? And notice Simon Peter. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the what? Words of eternal life. Peter got it. All this bread talk you're talking about, all the blood talk you're talking about, I get it. We got to believe the same way we would eat food and drink water. We have to believe that you're the Son of God. You're going to shed your blood. Your flesh is your body. You're going up on the tree. We get it. We understand. And we believe, he says down there in verse 69, that and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Folks, every one of the I am statements is going to have that type of an application. He's going to give them a practicality of reality that they have done or they're doing that they can understand. And then he's going to call on a spiritual application for them to receive it. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. For us, the practical and the spiritual application is very simple. We live by Jesus spiritually according to John 6:35, but then we live by Jesus practically day by day according to John 17:17. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we come to Jesus Christ and we are spiritually satisfied, but then we get practically encouraged every day and every time we get into the word of God. Well, I can't get any more saved. But according to John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does sanctify mean? Set them apart. The more I get the word of God, the more set apart I am to God away from the world. Amen. The more of God in me, the more separated and sanctified or set apart I get. So the practicality for you and I is John 17:17 in daily life. We live by Jesus practically, but we also live by Jesus spiritually with eternal life in John 6:35. They didn't get it. Peter got it. That's why they stayed with Jesus. Amen. And that's why Judas did not. We'll pick up with the next I am statement next week. They're going to move more rapidly now. I really want to make sure we understood that basic principle. that the physical realities and the physical practicalities are what Jesus Christ taught them by. Something as simple as bread. He said, look, what is bread? It's food. What do you do with bread? You eat it. Why do you have to eat it? To stay alive. I'm the same way spiritually. You need me to stay alive. You need me to stay alive spiritually. Without me, you're not going to make it. And by the way, you're going to get what you're coming for. Some got it. Some didn't. Amen. Some got it and some didn't. Folks, when it comes down to the Word of God, let me give you this practical application, this practical truth. You and I are going to get what we're looking for when we come to this book. If we're not really looking for anything, you're not going to get anything. If you're really not looking for it, you're not going to get anything. Well, I'm just reading it because I'm supposed to. You ain't going to get anything. What are you looking for? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to look more like Jesus. God just showed me recently, every time this book opened, we should want to be conformed more to the image of Christ. We should want chipped off areas of our life. And we should want to look more like Jesus every time I come to the book. I don't want to look like a Baptist, although that ain't bad. I want to look like Jesus Christ. I want to look more like him. And so when the book is open, practically speaking, folks, if we're looking for it, we're going to find it. We're looking for a sandwich. Amen. You're not going to find it. Amen. They said, look, feed us, feed us. Moses did it for 40 years. He said, they died too. You want that too? He said, I'll let you live forever. Oh, that's a hard say. Who can hear this? Amen. Folks, don't let it happen to you. Stay in the Word of God. Make sure practically you're there. Make sure spiritually you're there. Trust God to work in your life. Amen. Next week, we'll move a little faster, and hopefully y'all won't slow me down. Amen. All right. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the practical application of this particular area. Lord, the Jews got it wrong because they could not bridge over the gap of the practical reality to the spiritual.